Hello, I'm Karen Eber-Davis, and I'm on a mission to help nonprofit leaders like you generate the ideas and resources you need to fulfill your goals in creative, effective, and whenever possible, brilliant ways. Few issues could be more important to your nonprofit organization than your fiscal health. Today, we talked to a resource you probably never knew was available, but during dark nights when you wondered if something was amiss at your nonprofit, you probably have wished for this resource, a fiscal doctor. Today, we speak with Gary W. Patterson, the fiscal doctor. Gary has helped over 200 organizations that range in size from startups to Fortune 500 firms. Gary holds an MBA in finance and operations from Stanford, a BBA in accounting from the University of Mississippi, and is a Big Four CPA and NSA speaker. Gary is also the author of Stick Out Your Balance Sheet and Cough, Best Practices for Long-Term Business Health, and the forthcoming book, Find Your Million-Dollar Blind Spots. He speaks on enterprise risk management, risk analysis, and leadership. Welcome, Gary. We look forward to learning more about risk analysis at nonprofits today.
Good morning.
What's a fiscal checkup, and how might it help a nonprofit organization?
Well, first, think of a fiscal checkup as being something that would be focused on finance, accounting, systems and strategy, and where that impacts the organization, sort of a business version of going to your doctor. Now, where it could help a nonprofit organization, I'll do this in two parts. The first is the key is to find 10 high-value, I call them blind spot issues. These are really an opportunity that may not occur because the resources aren't right. On these things with it, and it's nice to know that ahead of time. To take responsibility, I call it for acknowledging the 800-pound gorilla that people think is out there, but they sort of hope it isn't, but they sure don't want to acknowledge it. And the third one is people are working 50, 60, 70 hours a week. They just miss things. So the deliverables really are more of speed, because the sooner I help you get the information you need to know about this opportunity or risk, the longer you've got to fix it up. You get straight talk, not a yet. You get straight talk, not a yes person. And again, interestingly, how many times part of this is that I'm the person that will say there is a dead rat in the room, and that's a phrase we picked up. Really, I think Alan Weiss is the creator of that one. It's an issue. Everyone knows it's there. They hope it goes away. They hope someone else talks about it. And they're so happy if they don't have to take responsibility for it. And then the other one is strategic, because there are never enough hours in the day or enough people or enough money to do things unless you prioritize them.
So a lot of this really is about saving time and doing things maybe the easier way rather than the hard way, waiting for the dead rat to really smell and you have to clear the room, but maybe it could be lifted out of there instead, using your metaphor.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. When think about it, it's sort of like, you know, back when we were in high school, there were people who would start on their term paper very early, and there were people who would wait and wait and wait and wait. And it was a little less painful if you started early, because then you could spread it out over time. But yet, you know, if you were the person who waited until the last day or two, you still got things done. But boy, it was rough on everybody involved. So if you wait till the end of time, until there is almost no margin of error, these dead rats become really rough, really smelly.
And important, again, to get that move. It gives you times and options, it sounds like, too.
Exactly.
Right. Now, I have an accountant. I'm a nonprofit executive director, and I have an accountant that's supposed to be helping with this kind of stuff. So how is what a fiscal checkup, how is that different from what my accountant would do or should be doing for my organization?
Well, and they may be doing what they're supposed to. An accountant or the CPA is supposed to do things like help you with your audit, help you with your tax return, help you filing really statutory things. They're not there to be a business partner. They are looking at what generally accepted accounting principles for the industries, and in particular for nonprofits, say you must do. They're not looking at this from the economic aspects, which is what I would do, because I'm saying, how can this business, organization, person's department run better and more efficiently? Secondly, you know, no one likes to talk about the dead rats. That CPA firm wants to stay there. They want to be your accountant for years and years and years. And the people who bring up these issues, unfortunately, sometimes they're no longer around, or people have the perception that they get pushed out. So everybody likes to be loved. And the third one is, unfortunately, most of the CPA firms have cut back dramatically the information they provide to their clients. After Sarbanes-Oxley and litigation and everything like that, it's really hard to get them to give you something in writing. What you can get is this letter that said, well, we didn't find anything in the internal control area that was really too horrible, or anything that just, you know, we really should tell you about, but don't let that let you think that the world's okay, because we might have missed it or you might have not told us what we needed, but we'll give you a page-long letter that says we're not going to help you much anymore. But, you know, by the time you read the three paragraphs, you wouldn't get the common sense version I just explained to you.
And also, it sounds like it's something that's happening today. If the accounting was for last end of last year, there could be a couple months of activity going on that could be missed by that, too.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's the narrative. The story that people like to think about is, you know, what kind of accounting department or accounting firm do you have? Do you have the accounting function or capability where they're looking at the road ahead, telling you what's coming up, giving you management information? Or are they driving with their head turned to the back, looking where they've been and wondering why they've knocked over trash cans and there's this batch of black rubber on the road of places they've been on these things with it? The forward-looking business partner is really what people say they want, but in reality, on these things, you have to pay a little more for that. And a lot of people think that, well, in these tight times, we'll do a sort of what we've had in the past on these things with it. They've forgotten the issue that this is a roller coaster world. Look at the market, just whatever day you look on these things. It's amazing. Once upon a time, you or I would have thought, well, the market went up a little or went down a little. Today, for it to go up 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 points in a day, it happens. It never used to.
And an operating procedure.
Oh, yes.
So this roller coaster, and an accountant may not be a forward-looking business partner. It could be, may not be. And it's also that they're looking for the long-term, and in your role, maybe a short-term or shorter-term focus on what do you really need to hear from me.
Well, and the analogy I think that your audience is going to have heard is the comment that says, if you want to be loved, get a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be loved, which most service providers do, and most people really who are helping in the nonprofit sector, because there are a lot of non-monetary reasons why people do this. I mean, I know I was an industry expert in the nonprofit sector and on what they called commercial water districts with governmental accounting. A lot of the people there aren't there because that is the place they can get the absolute most money they could earn. They're there because they believe in a cause or a reason.
And sometimes what happens, people believe in a cause or a reason, and they're doing things that are not above board for the good of the organization or the good of the mission, and they believe that's what needs to be done, and sometimes there needs to be some education that's not the direction to make things happen.
Unfortunately, it's not always the people that you really have to worry about that are the problem solvers, as you've mentioned, is the issue can sometimes be people think that this is what is best for the company, and they'll do it. That's the thing that's scary in terms of watching out or wondering what's going on these things with it, because it's the good people, not just the people that you sort of think you have to watch a lot,
that
you have to watch a lot.
It could be the right intentions and just the wrong actions. Okay, another question for you. When I go to the doctor, I have an annual checkup, and then, but if I have other things that happen in between, if I have a cough that doesn't go away or a fever that lasts a couple of days, I'm going to go call my doctor and see him. For a nonprofit, what conditions would suggest that it's time to call the fiscal doctor?
Well, and again, someone listening is going to say, this is so basic, Gary, we know this. And my answer is going to be, you may know this, do you do this? So the first one is, can you project on a rolling basis at least the next 6 months worth of available cash? Preferably 12 months, because if you've got cash in this world, you've got the ability to take advantage of some opportunities. If you're strapped to the very last penny and don't feel comfortable about where money is going to come to cover expenses, you're going to miss out on some great opportunities. The second one, quality and timeliness of getting those financial statements out. 10 days or less, you're doing pretty good, let's say. More than 10 days, the longer it gets, you're back to this issue of, you know, gee, that's nice historical information. Would have been nice to have known about it, you know, 2, 3, 4 days ago, 2 weeks ago. And then the last one, and this one is the interesting thing. It works better conversationally that you or I have done and sort of picked this up over the years, is in their heart, if you ask people and say how well things are going and you listen, you'll hear that, well, or great, but I'm a little worried, whatever, is people in their heart know. If you come back and say, what are opportunities we're missing, they can tell you. If you come back and say, well, how might we not hit our budgets this year that we have to go out and ask some of our donors for more money, people can tell you that months ahead of time. But no one likes to have that conversation. And one thing about this is board of directors are usually pretty good about this. There's usually at least one or two people with really good business skills. There are people who bring other expertise on these things with it. But people get tired of wearing the black hat and saying, well, how well are we doing? And really digging in versus just taking these sort of cosmetic, half-hearted answers. And unfortunately, you and I have all heard some of those answers.
So this is a chance, too, if you feel like the truth is not being told and needs to come up and really, really be looked at. Back to that dead rat or the elephant in the room, is this is an opportunity to have some of those conversations that people may have been being polite about because it is a nonprofit and everyone's trying to do good. I can think of one example of a customer I was talking to and listened and heard about their strategic plan and their strategy, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. You're paying, you know, if the going rate was $10 for a service in the open market, they were paying $50 or $60 or $70 for the same service. And it was like, yes, you have an enhanced service, but is it that enhanced? And that was something they were willing to tell me, but they weren't discussing on the board level. So there's interesting things like that that sometimes really are healthy to get out there.
Well, I mean, the other issue, I've done this, not just nonprofits, you know, in commercial sides also. So, you know, I think that's a perspective we have to bring in. And everyone who's really working, really entry level and above, has got more work than they can do, that we've stretched and stretched and stretched. And part of the problem is, let's say if there's a department head, and they thought that that was high, you know, versus what they could get. Well, the only way they can do that is if they're already working 55 hours on their 40-hour job, is for them to give up a night or a weekend or something to work an extra couple hours to check these things out. And if they do on these things with it, it's nice if people would say, gee, that's great. You know, it's 50 on these things. We can get it for 10 or 12 or whichever. But then someone's going to be unhappy with them because there was a reason someone wanted the deluxe service. So as opposed to the answer being, well, thank you for doing this, Karen or Gary, it's going to be, I'll get even with you, you know, or that's a perception. So Unfortunately, the independent consultant like yourself or myself or others in this space, part of this value really is we let it be safe to acknowledge those 800-pound gorillas.
And then also part of what we bring is a process to say, okay, now that we've talked about the gorilla, we can take some action and begin the process to fix what it is rather than just have it be hanging in there, to remove the rat from the room.
Exactly.
Okay, between using our back to our doctor story, or between visits to the doctor to take care of our health, we exercise, eat properly, and do all those good things, low salt, that they tell us to do. So as a nonprofit, what two or three steps can a nonprofit leader take to keep the nonprofit healthy and reduce the need for medical help between checkups?
Well, one of them, I'm going to clarify a little. I mentioned it earlier, but it is so important. You know, cash is not just king, it's emperor. And king cash doesn't do you much good if they're locked up in the dungeon. So you've got to have access to 6 months of non-restricted cash on these things with it. Cash and non-restricted cash are dramatically different on these. Diversify your revenue so that no customer is more than, I'll say 50% for nonprofits, because I know, and there was a situation that I was looking at really not that long ago where, you know, they had way more than 50% in essence coming out of one customer. That's not good. The Securities and Exchange Commission makes you disclose if more than 10% of your revenue comes from one source. So revenue diversification. And the third one, succession planning for all key positions, in particular, the executive director. Those are the three key things that if you've got all three of those, you're in good shape on them. You know, maybe you don't need to take your temperature tonight. If you're missing one of those, you might better find some aspirin. If you're missing two of those, I think you need to come into your version of the fiscal doctor and better do something about it, because danger is lurking.
Very good point. So cash for 6 months and non-restricted cash is the goal. Diversify revenue, no more than 50% from one source, and ideally no more than 10% from one source. And make sure you have a succession plan in place. And if you've not got it finalized, at least be working on it.
Exactly. Time, we're back to the time issue. Once you identify and prioritize that if one of those three is your issue, if you start addressing it this month, you've got time to fix that normally. But if you wait until, well, it hasn't happened, or we don't want to face up to it, it could be unpleasant, you run out of time. It's sort of like the high school, the people that did their term papers the night before. Mm-hmm. I hope, Karen, you weren't one of those people who wrote your paper the night before.
Oh,
since I
mine.
Use that as the example.
Is this confessions? not too often, because I did not work well under the stress of things falling apart, which they often did. So I learned not too early, but eventually, that I had to do it ahead. So these sounds like three things really that are kind of like signposts or goals out there. Like if you're out in a boat looking for where the marker is, where the lighthouse is, and you're looking to head towards that direction for your fiscal health. Great stuff.
Good.
Gary, how can people get contact you, or do you have any free resources so they can learn more about what you offer?
If they look at my website, fiscaldoctor.com, fiscaldoctor.com, there is a free fiscal fitness test tab there, which is seven little folksy questions, simple, basic things to make sure that you address key strategic issues. And then if someone wants, on the contact tab, they can fill in something that says, put me on your mailing list, send me some information. And they can just type something in that says, hey, Gary, I had a question to follow up from our discussion. Please call me. And I'll be glad to do that for any of the above.
Great. That's wonderful. I think I like the idea potentially of those seven folksy questions. Those could be brought to a board meeting and to be used for thought stimulators, one per month.
Exactly.
Okay, Gary, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us for this Mission Brilliant podcast. You can find more ideas and resources for your nonprofit organization at our website, www.kedconsult.com. I'm Karen Eber Davis, and until we talk again, I wish you and your nonprofit creative and effective success.